qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-606-4110. 800-606-4110. Again, that's 800-606-4110.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. City police are investigating a Monday night shooting in Southwest Baltimore. Officers were called to the 4000 block of Frederick Avenue just after 8:30 last night, and when they arrived, they found the victim suffering from a gunshot wound. Medics took the victim to a hospital, but there has been no update on the severity of his injury. Howard County will be using a $250,000 grant from the state's African American Heritage Preservation Program to restore a building that was built to house the enslaved in the 1800s. The building is located in what is now Blandair Regional Park, and the county intends to use all of the preservation funds to fix the property and interpret the story of the people who lived at the former estate. The quarter is an example of a double pen sawn plank building with a central double fireplace. And the city of Annapolis is warning drivers about a parking fine scam that's making the rounds. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barrowy at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barrowy now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Hi, I'm Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Over the years, my feet, knees, and back were in pain. That's why I turned to Good Feet Arch Supports, relieving pain and keeping me active. Try them for yourself with a free fitting and test walk. Visit goodfeet.com.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Orioles were a long ball hitting machine a year ago, second to the Yanks and Dingers, two ahead of the Dodgers. This year, manager Brandon Hyde would like to see a little more small ball.
I'd like to see us bunt for a hit a little bit more. I'd like to see us run a little bit more this year also. A lot of it's personnel driven as well, but I would like to see us definitely run more.
Birch tied for 18th in the majors last year with 98 steals. Apparently, there's some pushback to the tush push in the NFL circles. The Athletic and CBS Sports reporting this morning that it's the Green Bay Packers pushing the ban of the play, popularized by the Eagles. The league will talk about it at the Combine this week in Indianapolis and could vote on it next month at the NFL winter meetings in Palm Beach. And finally, one of the longest losing streaks in college sports history is over. The University of Maryland Eastern Shore, that's UMES, snapped a 55-game baseball losing streak on Saturday with a 14-7 win over Towson. UMES went the entire 2024 campaign without a win. They were 0-48. Their last win was in May of 2023. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Milkman returns. And that is Stein on Sports.
Stay and relax with Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills with easy check-in using their digital key. Just download their Hilton Honors app. Whether it's a corporate event in Owings Mills, a leisure event, or get-together for drinks at the grill, you can always wake up to a made-to-order delicious breakfast to start your day. Reach out to their sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills at 410-654-0030. You can always count on the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
At 10:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Hopefully, you've got a chance to get outside, enjoy the sunshine, the comfortable temperatures today and tomorrow. 62 today, tomorrow near 60. Thursday, some rain, showers scattered. 62 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 44 degrees in Dundalk, 49 in Owings Mills, and 44 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. I have a treat for you today. Real quick, of course, you know, even during the commercial break, I like to scroll through X. formerly known as Twitter. And I saw this come up, and I just had to tell you, right now, former Councilman Nick Mosby may soon have a new job on the State Lottery and Gaming Commission if the Senate approves his appointment. Yes, former Council President Nick Mosby, who had a problem paying his own bills and taxes. Like, I can't make this stuff up anymore. The jokes write themselves. And so I just wanted to tell you that because it was just reported just now by Fox 45. So I had to bring that to you. Right now, I have a guest in studio, and I'm super excited about this because, of course, I was stalking him on X. And I kept looking at a lot of his videos, and I kept saying, wow, this guy really gets it. He's extremely articulate in how he gets the message across. Because I know a lot of people call the show, and you're right about this, Republicans have a hard time with messaging. We do. That's why we don't win a ton of seats, I think, in the State House. But I want you to take a listen real quick because I have some audio that I pulled here from Fitz's X account. Take a listen.
The State Teachers Union has an exorbitant amount of power over the Democratic majority in Annapolis. If this goes in check, they will bankrupt Maryland and exasperate the population exodus that we're facing. The Teachers Union's They're actually now demanding that collaboration time doubles from 20 to 40% amid our $3 billion deficit. This is a maneuver to further consolidate power and expand their influence at the expense of taxpayers. A 20% increase in collaborative time will force the state to hire 15,000 additional teachers to offset the time lost from instruction. This will cost taxpayers essentially $900 million, and this doesn't include benefits such as pensions, retirement, healthcare, et cetera, and so on. The blueprint currently doesn't have a spending mechanism attached to it. And with these spending goals, Marylanders can expect additional taxes and fees to offset costs. It's why the Accountability and Implementation Board, which operates as an oversight mechanism for Kerwin, has unanimously voted to relax the effort for more planning time. More collaborative time equals a 25% increase in membership. A 25% increase in membership equals more union dues. More union dues equals more influence and control. Lawmakers and candidates are beholden to said groups because their retention of their seats and victory hinges upon endorsements and campaign dollars from groups. It's time we stand up to the unions, stand up to the politicians, and get their hands out of our pocket.
All right. And that is Fitz, my new friend. Fitz, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So, of course, I was listening to that. And this is what we were just speaking to Delegate Fisher about, the teachers union and how much money they've been taking on the side and how it's like this circular thing that they have going on between those that are running for office, making sure that the teachers union get their money, even though the state can't afford any of these things, and especially can't afford the Kerwin Commission blueprint, whatever they want to call it.
Right.
And so you, this is what I saw on X, this is how I first noticed you. I saw that you were calling a lot of this out,
yeah.
And you were doing it in a way where many people were watching and saying, okay, it's not like he's just throwing, you know, he's not name calling. He's not saying this is stupid, this is dumb, this is ridiculous. I'm guilty of that. But you were laying out the facts on why this doesn't work and why it incentivizes them to do more of this because they financially gained from this. Let me just ask you, when you posted that video, did you hear from any of the Montgomery County elected officials or anybody that is pushing or supporting Kerwin or the blueprint?
No, I didn't.
You
hear
didn't.
From any of the elected officials in Montgomery County. And I wasn't necessarily expecting to hear from them either, as to a certain extent, they may or may not see me as the opposition. But yeah, unfortunately, even on a state level and in Montgomery County, the teachers union essentially has a monopoly over electoral politics.
Yeah. No, they absolutely do. And so I was thinking that you were completely new to this. But let me get your background for the audience, number one, but then also what you did recently here.
Yeah. So I'm actually a Montgomery County kid, born and raised. I went to Sherwood High School and participated on the varsity football team. And after I did three, four years of being a letterman on the varsity football team, I matriculated down south to Birmingham, Alabama, and played Division I football there, and we won our first conference championship ever in school history. And I flirted with the idea of coaching football too for a year after graduating, and I actually came out, unfortunately, during the pandemic year, and I started over 35 games in college and was all conference my senior year and had aspirations to play in the NFL. But at some point, football kind of drifted away from me as I kind of went through my maturation process. And then I came back to Maryland and immediately wanted to make an impact because for some reason I developed this insatiable appetite for government and getting involved and really reforming my community, so to speak. And I worked as a campaign manager, went back to school, received my master's in law from WashU, School of Law in St. Louis. And I also worked in the General Assembly. And then also ran for Board of Education, too, in the last primary process.
Okay.
And here I am now, still fighting the good fight, as many of my supporters say. And, ultimately, I really want to see conservative values implemented here in Maryland.
Okay. And then Fitz, I call you Fitz, but give everybody your full name here, because I want people to follow you.
Yes. So Fitzgerald Mofor.
Okay.
Full name. And a funny story behind that is, my father, which, me and my family, we go back and forth a little bit about, our political affiliations. I come from a family of ancestral Democrats, and I'm more of a conservative Republican. But my father really loved John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
Yes. And, he had this deep infatuation with him and decided to name me Fitzgerald.
Okay.
After JFK, which is a crazy story. Yes.
No, that is good. So you ran for school board. Mm-hmm. You are a Republican.
Correct.
Did people know that? Because I know here in Maryland, you don't have to have a party affiliation when you run for school board. Mm-hmm. Did people know that just by where you stood on the issues?
Yeah, so I actually remember I dealt with this a little bit earlier. I could complain to my dad, which my father's a practicing attorney. Like, Dad, these people, they're digging into my personal information and they're looking up my voter registration. They're calling me a Republican because this was all blasted on social media.
Okay.
With some of the opposition and some of the activists that we have in Montgomery County.
So they were nervous about
it. Yeah, they had. Well, not necessarily that I was just some kind of robust and strong candidate, but they're just so steadfast on maintaining power. And they, under no circumstances, do they want any Republican representing them in elected office. So I'm like, Dad, they're blasting my stuff. He's like, listen, Fitz, you inserted yourself in the political and public sphere.
Yeah.
And this is part of it. You're going to have opposition. They're going to look into your personal files and your voter registration and see that you're Republican. And that may or may not make you less viable. So which, unfortunately, I kind of ran into that issue. And it was very well known that I was a Republican while running.
Okay, so that was well known. All right, because, it was interesting because when I came around your X-File, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe perhaps you were just an independent that was fed up with everything on the left. So you are a Republican.
Right.
Some of the things that are happening in Montgomery County schools, we hear about them a little bit. But on your platform, what was your number one priority, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so my number one priority was getting kids back up to speed post-pandemic. Unfortunately, in Montgomery County, we had the longest school closure in the country. We were closed from about March of 2020 and reopened to January 2022. And we saw a 31% decrease. Oh, pardon me if I'm saying that incorrectly. It's been a while. I've had my statistics. But we saw a very large decrease in reading proficiency, math proficiency, because as we knew that, that home virtual learning isn't really strong in terms of grasping a curriculum and then also implementing it too with test scores and, this MCAP, these Maryland State standardized testing that they had when they came back to school. So my number one thing was getting kids one-on-one opportunities with more paraeducators in the classroom, after-school curriculums too as well, and also broadening our career and technical education program to get kids back up to par. And we saw a lot of truancy and absenteeism in our communities and schools such as Wheaton High School, JFK, and those things. So my number one priority was getting kids back up to speed with their reading proficiency and math proficiency scores.
Yeah, well, just so you know, I'm in Baltimore County, and my daughter, I'm dealing with that with her. She's in third grade now, so, she's one of those kids where they weren't in school when they were learning to read. And so we have tutoring pretty much all year round, and obviously we see the difference as well. But it's interesting that a lot of those on the school board or those in general that have, the ability to change some of this, it's interesting that they haven't done that. Let me ask you, when it comes to Montgomery County policies and what we're seeing in the General Assembly, What is one of the ones that you're really paying close attention to? You know, whether it bothers you, whether it's something that's great, and whether or not the person introducing it, that elected official introducing it, if you think they're doing it in good faith.
Yeah. So I listened to Delegate Fisher a couple days ago, and he talked about this gas leaf ban or moratorium that I believe that a Montgomery County delegate.
The leaf blower. The leaf blower. Yeah. You got to speak up for me, Fitz, here. Yeah, because I'm basically deaf. Go ahead.
Yes, so the gas leaves. And actually, in Montgomery County, we have a complete ban even for residents, too, as well. So it's actually a $500 fine if you're caught using a gas leaf blower.
Now, $500
fine? $500
fine. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
So we're essentially a nanny state in Montgomery County. We have noise abatement cameras. And actually, Montgomery County and New York City are the only two jurisdictions in the country that have these noise abatement cameras. And then they also passed this bag tax, this plastic bag tax moratorium. All retailers and grocery stores, they can't actually give the consumer plastic bags, and they have to be brown paper bags. And they're actually hiking that up to 10 cents per bag.
10 cents a bag.
10 cents per bag, which we know ultimately, you know, these retailers and grocery stores are just going to pass off the cost for consumers and make grocery prices more expensive for us, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of these bills that are curated in Montgomery County that are actually matriculating and making its way to the state house and the state legislature. And I firmly believe that just makes our life harder. It also increased the cost for us, you know, getting these leaves off of our property, et cetera, and so on. So that's one thing that I'm seeing with the General Assembly, with some of this Green New Deal vision or agenda that they're trying to implement that first was curated in Montgomery County and it's coming over to the State House.
Yeah, just so you know, Fitz, I blame you guys a lot. Okay? Because whatever you guys are doing down there in Montgomery County, I mean, it's like basically the little California of Maryland. And then what you guys do that's absolutely ridiculous, it makes its way up here.
Correct.
And then we're doing it in Baltimore City and Baltimore County. And yeah. I'm like, what is going on? Like when the parents couldn't opt out.
Yes.
For their kids, what were they trying to teach them? More about, sexually explicit things,
yes.
Right?
So in Montgomery County, what they had, especially within the education system, is called the inclusive curriculum. And in the inclusive curriculum, they'll talk about gender nonconformity, same-sex marriages, and they'll probably have a book such as All Boys Aren't Blue, which essentially articulates a story about a young boy that is a little bit confused with his sexuality and his identity. Now, this is placed in the English language arts parts of the school curriculum, which parents cannot opt out, right? They can only opt out of health and family life. Now, at first, the school board essentially said, okay, we will have an opt-out policy, but you had the teachers union and all these other very strong and robust activists in Montgomery County said, no, you guys need to actually commit real fidelity to, you know, protecting and providing representation for our marginalized kids, as they say, so to speak. So they want a no opt-out policy. Well, you had the religious community, the Islam community, the Orthodox Christians within the Ethiopian community, and even some actually secular parents too as well that were extremely upset with this no opt-out. So they came to the Board of Education and they protested, they had their voices heard, and it went to a circuit court, and the circuit court essentially said the parents, and this is actually called Mahmoud versus Taylor, which everyone can go and follow up, and they said the parents haven't provided any substantive evidence that their First Amendment and religious liberties are being infringed upon for not having a no opt-out policy. Now, it went up to federal court. Now it's also going all the way up to the Supreme Court, too, also.
Okay, so that's where it is now.
That's where it's at.
It's going to the Supreme Court now.
It's all the Supreme Court.
We're going to continue this conversation when we get back. We're going to take a break here, but Fitz, I do appreciate that. Imagine losing the ability to hear someone say, I love you, the ability to hear a compliment, hearing the birds chirp, or your favorite show on WCBM, Kim Classic Live, all conversation with old friends, anything, you name it, you don't want to miss anything they have to say. Losing your hearing takes a toll on you physically, emotionally, and socially. Now, this kind of suffering sounds familiar, and I hope that it doesn't. But if it does, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100. Dr. Melissa Segev and her team take a gentle and empathetic approach for each patient's treatment plan with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Audiology Associates is the trusted name in Maryland, and they have been for over 44 years, and they have offices throughout the Baltimore metro area. So call 410-944-3100 or go online at aaiaudiology.com. When silence is not golden, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100.
There she is, founder and CEO. High five.
Yeah. Dave can't stop celebrating with every business owner in town.
All right, Baker Man, high five.
He's sharing the excitement of big savings with the Comcast Business 5-year price lock guarantee.
Ooh, up top, bike shop.
Yeah. It's 5 years of gig speed internet.
Quick, high five.
5 years of advanced security.
5 years.
And 5 years of a great rate that won't change.
Yeah, law partners. Chamberlain, Messelthorpe, Dubois.
All from the company with 99.9% network reliability. Switch today and get the 5-year price lock guarantee.
5 years!
It's back, but only for a limited time.
Woo!
Powering 5 years of savings, powering possibilities. Comcast Business.
Can't forget you, voiceover guy.
Ah, thanks, Dave.
High five!
Ends 3/9/25. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge for new customers on qualifying internet bundle, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
The Rob Carson Show.
USAID is one of the organizations that funded the BLM riots that killed 30 people and caused $2 billion in damage. They used George Floyd's death, not murder, to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. And oh, Thor's hammer is coming down. God's hammer is coming down. Justice is coming for the people who did this to us.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This portion of the Kim Klasick Show is brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman, representing injury victims for over 30 years, on the web at maflaw.com.
All right, good morning to you. If you're just joining us, we have an in-studio guest, Fitzgerald Mofer. Right? Am I
correct.
Saying it right? Okay,
correct.
Great. I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah.
You can also call him Fitz. And Fitz is here from Montgomery County, and it's interesting, during the break, of course, Brian, the producer, he knows all his sports here. And, you know, when you first got in the studio, Fitz, I noticed that it looked like you could probably tackle anybody, you know, east of the Mississippi. So you played football, and I guess you played
I played at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Yeah, okay.
Division I football. Yeah.
It is Division I football. Okay.
Yes, correct.
All right. Well, look, you know what? That's great. That's great. Because, you know, there's, I think that a lot of people do relate when it comes to people that are in office or running for office that also had, you know, a real life in the private sector and did other things just look to a political future. Because that's what we hate, okay? Okay, Fitz? So that's what we hate. So I love the fact that you haven't. Now, you did talk about the fact that you ran for the school board in Montgomery County the last time around. Let me ask you, was it even close? I mean, look, you can be honest with us here because we know that we are in the minority by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Was it even close? Did you feel good about it?
Mm-hmm.
What was your takeaway?
No, you know, for me, I felt great about it because I was able to build and curate great relationships with members of my community and also community leaders. And it also allowed me to join advocacy groups that I'm a part of.
Okay.
It's called the Montgomery County Taxpayer League. Now, I also want to be frank and be upfront and say the outcome wasn't the best, and it wasn't necessarily what I was looking for. But, you know, it was my first time running.
Yeah.
I was 28 years old. I had no name recognition. And truthfully, I think that I was just not necessarily the best fit from an ideological standpoint. I have to admit, I am a conservative. Where Montgomery
County, we love that. Yeah.
As Montgomery County is a very progressive county, you know, I would almost call it a liberal and progressive bastion in the nation for a myriad of different reasons.
Yeah.
So you know, the turnout or how it, you know, vamped out, or et cetera, at the end wasn't necessarily the best, but it's an experience that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was your first run. Mm-hmm. If you guys out there have questions for Fitz, you could call in 410-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680. Before we go to break here, I have to ask you, because we're looking at the General Assembly, where we're looking at midterms here in 2026.
Yeah.
Are there any seats in Montgomery County in the State House that are viable, that we could really compete at for a Republican?
Yeah, so District 9A. District 9 is a legislative district that has majority Howard County, but parts of Montgomery County, too, though. And as a matter of fact, this was a seat that was controlled by Republicans before the extreme partisan gerrymandering in that 2020 session. And I remember Katie Fry Hester, the senator, she was going against a delegate, to an incumbent delegate, who was building a lot of momentum, a lot of impetus behind his campaign. And the General Assembly essentially gave her a leg up with essentially gerrymandering District 9 and adding Damascus. Damascus, Maryland, is up county, parts of Montgomery County. And in Montgomery County, we have this 4-to-1 ratio for voter registration. Okay. So essentially, when you're adding any parts of Montgomery County into a legislative district, you're automatically giving the Democratic candidate or incumbent a competitive advantage, essentially. So
okay.
I think that's a seat that says a Republican should target and look at from the Senate and those two delegate positions, too, as well.
Okay, so District 9A. All right.
Yep.
So when we get back, I am going to ask you about the energy crisis. I'm going to ask you about some of the work you do advocating for taxpayers, and then also a little bit about the national scene. But let me ask you before we go to break here, have you thought about running for District 9A?
Well, that's something that I would have to talk to my friends and family about, you know, embarking on that journey of running for office again. I know it's very stressful for them. And for me, naturally, I'm a fighter, and I would love, you know, to fight.
Sounds like you like competition if you're playing ball at Alabama.
Yes, definitely love competition. But, you know, that's something to see in the future. We'll look at that.
Okay, well, let me tell you, by the time you leave this studio, I'm going to convince you of that. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. You should talk to your family and friends about it. But you know what? I'm gonna do my homework on District 9A. Coming up next, we'll have more discussions here with Fitz. Like I said, the energy crisis, I'm sure that's affecting Montgomery County like it is the entire state. And then also the national scene. How do you feel about President Trump and Elon Musk coming up next?
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. What President Trump has described as one big, beautiful bill may come to a vote later today in the House. It's a budget bill. It would advance major elements of the president's agenda. President Trump endorses a latest candidate to announce a gubernatorial bid in the Buckeye State, Mr. Trump backing Republican Vivek Ramaswamy for governor of Ohio. Democrats facing a lack of enthusiasm among big donors, dismayed over the party's losses last year. President Trump is endorsing Elon Musk's attempt to find out just what federal workers have been up to over the past week. French President Macron calls Mr. Trump a game changer when it comes to hopes for finally bringing a close to the Russian war in Ukraine. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 133 points, the Nasdaq off 356. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
A couple birds notes for you as the Orioles get set for the Tigers this afternoon. That'll be Charlie Morton on the hill, followed by Dean Kramer. Meanwhile, closer Felix Bautista feeling healthy and confident. coming out of his first live bullpen session of the spring on Sunday. The Orioles expect him to throw his next session either tomorrow or Thursday before making his first game appearance later in the week. And Colton Cowser at the mic yesterday, apparently healthy as well after off-season surgery to repair the broken hand he suffered in the wild card series against the Royals.
And I could have been back in about, I think, 4 weeks post-surgery, but team docs were just like, there's no need to rush it.
Cowser tailed off at the end of last season. Last 43 games, the Milkman batted just .216 in 157 at-bats, only 6 homers and 15 runs batted in. 329 college players have been invited to partake in the league's annual scouting combine as NFL brass gather today in Indianapolis. Combine begins Thursday. For the Ravens, general manager Eric DaCosta will meet the media at 11 a.m., followed by head coach John Harbaugh at 1 p.m. On the docket, as I'm sure you can imagine, will be the future of Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Birds and Nats make an announcement. And that is Stein on Sports.
Are you looking for weekly updates about the economy, the stock market, or hearing about wealth planning topics? If so, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:20 a.m. for the Morning Market Flash featuring Tim Herb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor at RBC Wealth Management. For immediate questions, call us at 855-360-VIEW. That's 855-360-VIEW. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA SIPC.
If you've got a little bit of spring fever, so does Mother Nature. These temperatures are mild today and most of the week. A few clouds today, a dry day, a warmer afternoon, 62 the high. It's cool at night, mid to upper 30s, but tomorrow, sunny, near 60. There's some rain on the way. Scattered showers Thursday. 62 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Go to betternestegg.com.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling, winner of Carol's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
The Maryland Home and Gardening Craft Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. March 1st and 2nd and 7th through 9th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace and Exhibition Hall. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with trusted local experts. Step into spring as you stroll through the blossoming feature gardens. Plus, see Leslie Davis and Lindsay Lamb from HGTV's Unsellable Houses March 7th and 8th. Shop, compare, and save on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more at the Maryland Home and Gardening Craft Show. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Over the years, my feet, knees, and back were in pain. That's why I turned to Good Feet Arch Supports, relieving pain and keeping me active. Try them for yourself with a free fitting and test walk. Visit goodfeet.com.
The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
There are men and there are women. There's an XX chromosome, a woman, and an XY chromosome, a man. That's it. And anything else, they are mutations.
You have a very, very slight chance.
That's it. That's it. You can feel like anything else you want. You can claim that you're anything else you want, but that's it.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9, with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
All right, good morning. If you're just joining us, we have an in-studio guest, Fitzgerald Wilfer. And you can call him Fitz if you like. And he's from Montgomery County, And this last cycle, he actually ran for Montgomery County School Board, was not successful, but it was his first run. He is a conservative Republican, and even though it doesn't really matter, he is a black Republican, because a lot of people do talk about that. And so we've got callers already calling in. If you want to ask Fitz a question, he'll be here for just a little bit more, but 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Fitz, you're an entrepreneur. You're with the Advocates for Taxpayers there in Montgomery County. Correct. And then also, you played football.
Yes.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, it looks like he played football his entire life. And so now you're here, but you were at University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. See how I'm learning this so quickly? Yeah. So we already have callers on the line. So I'll go to our first caller here. Jefferson in Montgomery County. Jefferson, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, we don't usually get calls from Montgomery County, so we're excited about this. Did you have a question for Fitz?
Yeah, I do. So I was actually a former Brenda Diaz student campaign intern. So I was super involved with the Board of Education race in Montgomery County. And so when I found out Mr. Mofor was coming on, I had to come and listen. So question is if you think there is hope for the future of Montgomery County Public Schools and if we can get another person like yourself on the Board of Education.
Yeah. So, Jefferson, first and foremost, thank you so much for all your advocacy work and your volunteering, doing the campaign trail for Brenda, and even just common sense on our school board locally. And I really appreciate you. And yes, I think that the school board is and public education in Montgomery County is salvageable. First and foremost, we need great individuals and candidates like Brenda Diaz. I'm really hoping that she can run again in 2026. And we also need other great candidates and individuals like Esther Wills, too, as well. These are educational savants. You know, they know all the nuances and intricacies about public education in Montgomery County. And they also have a different perspective and ideological adherences from some of the current school board members, too, as well. So I think if we can get some of these fresh, new faces and voices, I think we will get on the right track in Montgomery County.
Yeah. Well, Jefferson, thank you so much for the question.
Thank you.
And you know what? I do appreciate that. Jefferson, thank you for, I appreciate you working hard, too.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. And I will point out, you know, it was tough in Baltimore City, obviously. Very tough in Baltimore County, but I can't imagine what it's like in Montgomery County.
Yes, yeah.
It is, like you said, I know you said something nicer. What did you call it? A bastion of liberalism?
A progressive bastion.
I call it a hellhole. That's what I call it. But it's everybody's different. I don't want you to say that because I hope, you know, you're going to have a political future here. So don't say what I say. But I do notice that. And I will say, as far as advocating for taxpayers, I should have known that that's kind of where you were because one of the videos I saw, you talked about the taxes and the fees and how this is hurting so many businesses and then so many just, you know, residents in general. Mm-hmm. When it comes for, you know, comes to taxpayers, what kind of work do you do so people know?
Yeah, so I actually became the secretary of the Montgomery County Taxpayer League. And I also want to add that we are a nonpartisan organization, too, as well. And we also have Democrats and independents and et cetera that are leaders and board members, too, as well.
Okay.
But essentially, our number one focus is to provide advocacy for taxpayers in Montgomery County. And we like to articulate to them, you know, how their tax dollars are being utilized. And as a matter of fact, on Thursday, we're going to have this really good educational seminar, and we're going to do a really deep dive into the Montgomery County Public Schools operating budget, which the top line is at $3.6 billion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to talk about things like a maintenance of effort that continuously to get funded over the standard requirement. We also talk about salaries. Something for me that's also dear in my heart is how paraeducators are going to get paid. Are they going to get taken off TPT? Are they going to start to receive benefits? You know, so those are the type of things that we're going to ruminate and talk about here at this webinar, so to speak, on Thursday at 7 p.m. And I'm hoping callers can please contact me to discuss how they can get this Zoom registration link to join up and also have their voices heard, too, as well.
So that's Thursday at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Will you have this link? Are you emailing it out? Are you putting it on social? What are you doing?
I can go ahead and put it on social. And my Twitter page is just Fitzgerald Mofor, FitzGeraldMofor. You can punch that in the search engine. And I'll have that at the top of my feed with the link on how they can join us.
Okay, and I will repost that on mine so people can see that because this is important. And even though we look at Montgomery County, we don't think that your test scores are as bad as the scores up here. Yeah. It still is a ton of money going into the school system. Yeah. And I, you know, you might see some results in Montgomery County, but I don't think it costs that much to get those results.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's kind of what DOGE is working on with President Trump. And you know what? As I mentioned that, I did want to ask you, when it comes to President Trump and Elon Musk, because I know you got a lot of federal workers there in Montgomery County.
Yeah.
What's kind of the conversation on the ground? Are there federal, well, not just federal workers, but are there people upset about how they're going about this? Are there people that are happy about, you know, finding out where all this fraud and waste is?
So in Montgomery County, a good portion of our workforce comes from the federal government, whether they work for the NIH, FDA, or a myriad of these different federal bureaucratic offices and departments. So, yeah, we want to be cognitively aware of people losing their jobs. You know, that's a very serious thing and something that I hold dear to my heart. So, you know, we want to be compassionate and empathetic about those things. But I also want to congratulate President Trump and Elon Musk for taking on this very daunting task. For the longest, we always hear about conservative Republicans campaigning on slashing the size of the bureaucracy and cutting superfluous spending. But usually these are just campaign rhetoric. For the first time, I'm actually seeing an administration that's steadfast working towards those goals. And we have seen the federal government grow too big. We are seeing wasteful spending at the federal level, whether it's USAID, et cetera, and so on. But, you know, the large conversation, especially with tackling the federal government and how big it is in spending, is entitlements. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, you know, these things are probably taking over 50% of our spending annually. But it's political malpractice to go after these things, and which I understand. You never want to kick people off of these services and programs that they paid into, rightfully so. So now you have to come up with very creative and innovative ways to how to look at cutting the size of the federal government and wasteful spending elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I was wondering where you felt or how you felt about that, because like you said, there's a ton of federal workers in Montgomery County.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are even Republicans that are, you know. So it's a tough conversation to navigate.
Yeah.
And so I like the fact that you're congratulating Elon and Trump for taking on this task.
Correct.
You know, for me, you know, when Elon, you know, sent out the email over the weekend saying, please respond with 5 bullet points, at first I kind of looked at it as like, oh, gosh, this is going to face a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
And then we saw President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday saying, look, we just want to make sure people are checking their emails, because from what we've heard people aren't even checking their emails, you know, let alone not doing any work.
Right, right.
And so that's actually the question of the day. And I wanted to ask you the question of the day, if I could, Fitz.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and just so you know, there is no wrong or right answer. It's kind of just like what your personal opinion is. That's WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should members of Congress send weekly updates to their constituents highlighting 5 accomplishments? What do you think about
that? Yes, I support that. I very support that, because I see Congress as an institution that's broken right now, especially on how we appropriate our budgeting, so to speak. So we have all 12 appropriation bills that we routinely fail to pass on time. And we kick the can down the road and we turn them into continuing resolutions. And then they become these very big omnibus or minibus bills. And, you know, that just adds to the federal deficits that we're seeing, that's at $36 trillion.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the heck? What are you guys doing in Washington? Why are you guys late every time? And how come you guys aren't debating these appropriation bills individually? So yes, I would be in agreement of members of Congress showing the public the 5 things that they did weekly.
Yeah, no. So 94% so far say yes, 6% say no. You know, I'm still going to be advocating for you to run for District 9A. I'm going to throw this out here as much as possible, because like I said, and this is something we talk about on the show a lot, believe it or not, Fitz. We're not sure what kind of bench we have in the Republican Party in this state. And a lot of times we do see the same people throwing their hat in the ring. And there are many times where we know that that person is not going to win. But I understand, like, you don't want to leave any seat uncontested. And I get that. But we need people that are young, ready to put in the hard work, those that are going to knock doors, those that are going to do voter phone calls, yeah. those that are going to go to Annapolis even when they're not running, and you know, go to even this session and say, hey, we're against House Bill 380 because we don't think that kindergartners should have access to condoms, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, there are many groups even that are up there today. Kate Sullivan, who works on our election integrity, her group is up there today, you know, protesting and advocating for voter ID and things like that. And so I look at this, and I have a PAC, I don't know if you know this, called Red Renaissance.
Wow.
But I look at this and I say, we need to make sure that we have a deep bench in Maryland. We need to continue to chip away. Yeah, it's hard work. Yeah, I get it. I've thrown my hat in the ring multiple times.
Yeah,
I know
that.
How hard it is.
Really,
you know, I know
you
that you can't really, you know, depends on where you work. You can't even really work while you're running for office. That's a job, you know. And so I know it's difficult. There's lots of sacrifices. But at the same time, you know, I guess I weighed that pro and con wise with, you know, what the future could look like in this state.
Yeah.
And I have an 8-year-old daughter, and I need the future to look bright here. I wanted to ask you also, you know, if we're staying here on the national scene, when it comes to illegal immigration, we see a lot going on with ICE right now. Montgomery County has a large population of immigrants. How's that affecting Montgomery County currently?
Yeah, so I also want to preface these things is that I come from an immigrant's family.
Okay.
I consider myself a Cameroonian American. I was born here in Gaithersburg, too, also. And my father also went to Georgetown Law to practice immigration law for 30 years. So I also want to say that I support legal immigration in its most fundamental way. And I think it's foundational and bedrock to our understanding of American or
Wait,
American
your dad
democracy.
Is an immigration attorney?
Yeah.
Stop!
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Yeah, so,
okay, So I guess when it comes to illegal immigration...
Yeah, so it's completely different. And, you know, so, and how that actually affects us in Montgomery County is by population. So Gaithersburg is a city that's heavily being in flux with a lot of different members from the immigrant to her migration class, and which is perfectly fine. You know, I don't have necessarily anything against that specific community. But now in terms of the population influx, now we have to accommodate in terms of schooling. So we have a new school, Crown High School, in Montgomery County to essentially alleviate some of the population influxes that we're seeing. But more than anything, from a budgetary standpoint, we have things, and I'm sure in other places in Maryland, they have community schools as well. And in community schools, they provide wraparound services, extra curricular activities, and then they feed some of the students too also after school. And this is a cost that's passed on the taxpayer. And it's hard because these are already schools that are essentially Title I schools too as well. So but this is just social infrastructure that we have to accommodate and put in place for these new population exodus. Now, I think immigration is great, but what I will criticize the county on is how we don't work with federal agencies and officials like ICE. You know, a lot of county lawmakers are going to say that we're not a sanctuary jurisdiction, which, yes, technically we're not, but we operate as a sanctuary jurisdiction. For instance, if we have an individual that is caught on some elaborate scheme or illicit activity, Montgomery County isn't, they're not going to work with ICE to get this individual deported back to the country that he belongs to. So at a fundamental level, that's the practice of being a sanctuary jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But that's the criticism that I have. You know, the community schools and the wraparound services, you know, yes, I'm a conservative, but I also want to be empathetic too also and be understanding. But the lack of working with ICE, that actually is a threat to public safety. For example, we had an individual that was arrested a couple of times in Montgomery County, an illegal, so to speak. And, you know, he was just released. And he was part of a shooting in Hydesville, which is a different county, where I guess there was a drug transaction gone wrong. And they got into a shootout. And actually, unfortunately, a 2-year-old died.
Oh, my gosh.
In this crossfire. So this can lead to very strong public safety issues.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I will look up that story, Fitz, because I did not see that. And again, we don't see a ton that comes up from Montgomery County, which is why we're glad that you're here. I know you're an entrepreneur. Real quick before I left you go, are there any endeavors or anything you want people to know about?
Yeah. So we are very behind in Maryland in terms of infrastructure, transportation infrastructure. And I actually created this company that will work with the state of Maryland, and we're just going to provide labor to help develop some of the infrastructure needs in terms of transportation in the state of Maryland. We're just a startup. We just became operational last year. I came up with a company with a close friend of mine, which I consider more so much of like a family member. We started it about 2 years ago, but we have a couple employees now. But our number one goal is to provide good jobs for Marylanders and ultimately help and be integral in upgrading the infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure in Maryland.
Nice. Well, thank you for your work on that as well, because we do have some supply chain issues, of course. Fitz, where can people follow you online, social media?
Yeah, so you can follow my Twitter or X, as they call it, at FitzgeraldMofor. And I also created a small club that represents Up County of Montgomery County called Up County Republicans. And they can also follow that one at Up County Repubs. And they can also follow my Instagram at FitzMofor Maryland. Those are the best places to find me. And also on Facebook at Mofor for Maryland also.
All right. Sounds good. Real quick, Fran says in the text line, this gentleman is fantastic. Please have him on again. I feel the same way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And please come back again soon. We'll be right back. Yep.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Realestate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Realestate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free sky-high silver report and precious metals IRA guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to change. Go to betternestegg.com.
Hair Volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of the many award-winning natural hair products from New Nordic. Purchase Hair Volume at newnordicusa.com or at CVS.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The Great One, Mark Levin, is on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Panama Canal. It's crucially important that people understand that this is a serious matter and that no president since Reagan has ever brought it up. Neither of the Bushes. No Republican in the Senate or the House has ever brought it up. Donald Trump brought it up. Donald Trump wants to do something about it.
Mark Levin, weeknights 7 to 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, so that was Fitzgerald Mofor. He's from Montgomery County. You can call him Fitz, and like I said, he's on X. I know he's on X because I follow him there. But he also put together a group, Uptown MoCo, for the Republicans there in Montgomery County. Here's the thing, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but and I know Sean Casey talks about it a lot. We need a team. We need a crew, okay? We need people that can run for office and that can win. And I've said this plenty of times. You know, I ran for office this last time around. A lot of people know me, and there's a lot of people that don't like me, okay? There's a lot of people that think that I'm too rough around the edges, and possibly I am. You know, I'm fine with criticism. But there's people like Fitz out here that I think can run for office in Maryland and can win, can appeal to enough Democrats and enough independents to win. Now, of course, I asked him if he's going to run. He did note that District 9A, I will take a look at that tonight to see what that looks like numbers-wise. But, you know, I do believe that Fitz is somebody that can go on to run and win. I really do believe that. And as you heard there, he's 28 years old. 2 years ago, he started his business. That's when he got back from Alabama. His father, an immigration lawyer, Obviously, he said his family are immigrants. He was born here in America. And I did hear he said Cameroon, which is actually where my family's from, believe it or not. And so, like I said, this guy, he's got it. He's got it. I got a text here from Lisa in Nottingham. She says, I second the other listener. He is fantastic. Please have him on again. Lisa, I do plan on doing so. You know, this is what we need. We need Republicans in the state that are actually conservative, that do support President Trump, that, you know, and look, you don't have to be diehard Trump, okay? You don't have to be diehard. But I can't have another, you know, wishy-washy, flip-flop Republican, those that won't help the rest of the Republican Party. I can't have that. I can't have that. I can't have somebody that's not going to go out there and knock doors. I'm not going to have somebody that doesn't want to go do sign waving because it's sprinkling and raining a little bit outside. I can't have that. We need fighters. And I do believe if we have more people running for office, I mean, think about it. Everything you just heard from Fitz, what could a Democrat say to oppose anything he just said? He even just noted that his family, he's from a family of immigrants. I'm telling you what, I think, you know what, I pat myself on the back right now, guys. I think I hit the jackpot right there. But this is what I'm looking for. So I don't mean, if I'm stalking you online, I'm sorry, I don't mean to stalk you. But this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the next generation. I'm looking for our next crew to get out there and win some seats. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of losing as a Republican in Maryland. I'm over it. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about Dan Bongino, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Ron DeSantis, his wife Casey DeSantis, and also Joy-Ann Reid. She posted a video yesterday where she was literally in tears, crying about losing her show on MSNBC. Yeah, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. I got a personal story I want to tell you about Joy-Ann Reid as well. And then also a bill introduced by Delegate Nino Mangione. All that and more coming up next.
As a mom, I want my kids' lives to be filled with joy and possibility. And I want that for every kid. That's why I support No Kid Hungry.